I won't preach for long. It'll be short and quick. But if you haven't been part of the series before, we've taken a fresh look at the Ten Commandments. And if you've missed any of the previous eight, they're all available on the website, ganubibaptist.com. You can listen for free. And also, after the series, we'll put together a set of all 10 messages that you can keep as a resource or even pass on to somebody else. But tonight, we tackle number 9. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. No need to turn there. It's very simple and straightforward. Simply reads as follows. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Commandment number 9. Remember, these commandments are not the 10 suggestions. They are the 10 commandments for a reason. God feels very strongly about these 10 statements. And statement number 9 says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, let me begin like this. There's an old Jewish story about a rabbi who lived in a small town. The rabbi was a man of great character and integrity. He had given many years of his life to serving people in that community. They knew the rabbi to be an honest, forthright, trustworthy, and hardworking man. Until one day, a visitor came to town. The new resident in town, for whatever reason, started saying untruthful, horrible things about the rabbi, undermining his credibility and character. This led to a lot of suspicion and division in the community and in the synagogue. Some became suspicious of the rabbi's character. Others assumed that every negative thing they'd heard about him was true, and so they turned against him. This really devastated the rabbi, who had worked so hard for so many years, sacrificially serving the community. After a period of time, the man who had moved to town and undermined the rabbi's reputation met with the rabbi and said, I regret what I've done and what I've said. It was unfounded and untrue, and I want to make it up to you. So what can I do to fix what I've broken, to straighten out what I've made crooked? And so the rabbi told him, I want you to go home and take the pillow off your bed. I want you to go outside on a very windy day, and I want you to take the pillowcase, and I want you to scatter the feathers from your pillow into the wind. And so the man did that, and he returned back to meet with the rabbi, and he said, I did as you asked. Is there anything else I can do? And the rabbi said, you need to take your pillowcase and go out now and collect every single feather. And the man said, but that's impossible. That can't be done. And the rabbi replied, exactly my point. It's impossible to undo the hurt you've done to me with your careless slander. I forgive you, but my reputation has been irreparably damaged. The whole point of the 9th commandment is to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth when it comes to somebody else's character. What does it mean to bear false witness? To bear false witness simply means to say something which is either untrue or partially true about somebody else with the intention of damaging their character. That's what it means. So now let's ask ourselves the question, did people ever falsely accuse Jesus? Did they? Did people ever slander Jesus? Did people ever lie about Jesus? Absolutely they did. And I can promise you right now tonight, if they did it to Jesus, you can bet your bottom dollar at some stage they will do it to you as well. And so, let's read Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. This is a powerful, powerful verse. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. In other words, these are 6 or 7 things God feels extremely strongly about. What are the 6 or 7 things? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Listen to this. A false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict. The Lord says he hates those things and he finds them detestable. And so, my friend, when you choose to gossip, when you choose to slander, When you choose to undermine somebody else's reputation, it is not just an offense to that particular person. It's an offense to God. Because God is absolutely trustworthy. He's absolutely honorable. God never, ever lies. Look at Titus. Titus says in 1 verse 2, God never lies. It never crosses his mind to undermine somebody, to steal from their reputation. Hebrews 6 verse 18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. And so when you engage in slander, in gossip, in false accusation, you're not just going against the person, but in many ways you're shaking your fist in the face of God, undermining everything he is and everything he stands for. On the other hand, if God is a God of truth and honor, Satan is exactly the opposite. He is a liar. In fact, the Bible calls him the father of lies. Look at John 8:44. He, that being Satan, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. God is a God of truth and honor. Satan is a deceiver and a liar and an accuser. What does Tim Keller say? Tim Keller says this: gossip is sharing damaging information with the intention of murdering somebody's reputation. And so, my friend, tonight, let me tell you something. If you choose, and it is a choice, it's up to you. If you choose to engage in gossip, if you choose to engage in slander, if you choose to engage in undermining somebody else's reputation, in many ways you are knowingly or unknowingly working hand in glove with the devil. You're serving his purposes. You're forwarding his agenda. What does he come to do? He comes to divide. He comes to destroy. He comes to cause contention and division. And you think about it. How many families do you know? How many communities do you know? How many relationships have you heard of? How many churches have been destroyed simply because somebody couldn't get a handle on their words? They said things about somebody that undermined their character, and the person they spoke about wasn't there to defend themselves, and it caused massive damage. That is why God places such an emphasis on the ninth commandment. Do not bear false witness against somebody else. Now, believe it or not, and we're in church tonight, so I need to say this, there is even such a thing as spiritual gossip. You know what? We need to pray for Mark. Because I tell you what, Mark's uncle has a problem with cocaine. Huh? Well, instead of praying for Mark's uncle, I pray for you, my friend. Because you're a gossiper, and you come in the guise of a spiritual person. How many prayer meetings have you gone to where you want to block your ears? It's not a prayer meeting. It's a gossip session. I block my ears. Don't be proud of the fact that somebody comes and shares secrets with you. It's not a compliment. Why do they choose you? Do they think you might listen to them? Think about that for a moment. It's not something to be proud of, that people share their gossip with you. Go away. Don't come near me with your secrets. So, and I put this on social media this morning on Facebook. This is a golden rule I always apply in my life. Don't automatically assume that everything you've heard about somebody else is true. Take the time to get to know them for yourself. You may well be pleasantly surprised, eh? How many of you found that to be true? Don't go near this person. Don't touch that church. Don't listen to that leader. That person's too far gone, too broken, too messed up, too addicted. You meet them and they're wonderful. But you form your opinion based on somebody else's opinion. Take the time to get to know that person for yourself. You may well be very surprised. Right, let's wrap it up with three ways we can break the ninth commandment. Number one's obvious. Direct lying about somebody. You know, in your heart of hearts, what you're about to say about somebody is not true, or at best is partially true. You know it, but yet you choose to say it anyway because you want to, it's your intention to undermine that person's credibility. That's downright lying. I know it's not true, or at best it's only partially true, but I'm going to say it anyway because my intention is to break that person down. That is not a good thing to do. How many of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon? Youngsters? Oh, fantastic. They have heard of him. Well, Charles was known as the Prince of Preachers. Great revivalist and preacher. Let me tell you what happened to Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, history records, was one of the greatest Bible teachers ever. But the London press went after him and spread false rumors about him. Don't believe everything you read on Google, guys. Or the Daily Dispatch. The London press went after him and spread false rumors about him. They attacked his reputation and his character. These lies devastated Spurgeon, who fell into depression, which he subsequently struggled with for the rest of his life. Eventually, sanity prevailed and the press retracted their lies and their false accusations. They printed an official apology which said, "Sorry, we lied about Charles Haddon Spurgeon." But unfortunately, by that stage, the damage was done. You see, friends, once careless, slanderous words are out there, they are out there. Yes, you can apologize for them, and so you should, but you've spoken them. And growing up, our parents taught us and our teachers taught us, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never harm you. As you grew older, you realized, I can deal with sticks and stones, but it's words that cut deep. How many of you tonight have been hurt by words spoken over your life from somebody in authority, maybe a parent, a teacher, and you've never, ever gotten over those words? In a sense, you've carried them with you for the journey of your life. Be careful with your words. Direct lying. But what about this one? In fact, I love what Cordell Hull says, just before you go into the next one. A lie can get up and go halfway around the world before the truth even gets its britches on. Man, I tell you what, news travels fast in Ganubi. It starts in Desi's, it moves to Monty's, it moves to the deck. And before you know it, everybody knows your business. And with Facebook and social media, it travels like lightning. Be careful. All right, number two, so direct lying. What about this one? This is far more subtle. Indirect lying. What you're about to say is potentially true, or at best partially true, but you misrepresent the context in which the words were spoken. Oh, and you misrepresent the context on purpose to undermine the person's character. So, for example, there was a sailor, and he was responsible for making daily entries in the ship's logbook. And he got very angry with the first mate on board, and so he wrote in the logbook, "The first mate was sober today." The first mate was sober today. True or false? True. But what impression does it give you that in the other days the first mate was drunk? So you're sharing something true, but your motive's bad and you're misrepresenting what you're saying, and so people's impression of that person is bad. Oh, you got to be careful. Direct lying is one thing, but subtle, discreet misrepresentation of somebody's character is just as dangerous. Well, how about number three? Whoa, this is a challenge. You can break the ninth commandment by just simply remaining silent. Lying by silence. In other words, you hear somebody being falsely accused. You're in the circle of gossip. You hear what's been spoken about. You hear somebody's character being undermined. And yet you choose to remain silent. You don't speak up. You don't defend that person's reputation, and by keeping silent, you become complicit in the slander. Because you had an opportunity to speak, but you didn't. How does the saying go? Evil flourishes. Why? Because good men do nothing. All right, let's wrap it up and get the folk in the water. What's the solution to this problem? There must be a solution. If you've been on the receiving end of gossip or slander or false accusation, and I guess that more than likely is all of us, none of us will go through life having never experienced this problem. For those of you in ministry, you can time this by 100. You will get slandered. You will get falsely misrepresented. Just believe me. Accept it as part of the job description. However, it affects all of us. What about this for a verse? Psalm 119, verse 69. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I continue to keep your precepts with all of my heart. Oh, man. I hear what you said about me. I'm following Jesus. I hear what you've written about me on social media. I will follow Jesus. I hear what you said about me. I will continue to pursue the call of God upon my life, and nothing will distract me. I will keep on keeping on because I live not for the applause of man. I live for the applause of God. It's not your handshake I'm after. It's the handshake of Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. So you keep speaking up. I'll follow Jesus and I'll serve him. To those of you who have recognized tonight that this is your area of weakness, and please don't put up your hand. You've got a problem in controlling your tongue. From time to time, you engage in gossip and slander, even listening to it, being silent when people do it. Tonight would be a great opportunity to ask God to change your heart. You know why? Because this is actually a heart problem. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you open your mouth, what's in your heart is exposed, for better or for worse. Lord, change my heart, that I may be a builder-upper and not a breaker-downer. Because one day we will stand before God and give an account for every word we've spoken. Matthew 12, 36. On the day of judgment, people, you, me, everyone, will give an account for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be judged. Let's pray. As we've done after every session of the series, we've given ourselves a few moments to think and to respond and to do some business with God. For those of you tonight who've been on the receiving end, even recently, of this kind of gossip and slander and false accusation, I want to just speak God's encouragement over you tonight. I want you to know that you are loved by God, you are valued by God, and it's His opinion that counts. And I want to cancel every negative word, every word that was meant to break you down and discourage you and destroy you, every word that was sourced in the pit of hell from the father of lies and spoken over your life by a parent, by a teacher, by a friend, and even by a stranger. I want to cancel that influence of those words tonight over your life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the Bible says, whom Jesus Christ sets free, that person will be free indeed. I pray you'll put your head on your pillow tonight and sleep like never before with a heart full of peace, because you know you are loved, loved by God. Tonight, if the Holy Spirit has convicted you, this is just between you and God, of your involvement in breaking the ninth commandment, I would recommend you pray Psalm 141, verse 3, which says, Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil. That's a great prayer to pray. Lord, tonight, please set a guard over my lips and keep a watch over my mouth, that I may speak words that glorify you and that encourage others. May I never be an agent of division, of contention, of pride. But Lord, may my words serve to help and encourage, bringing life and hope and love and direction to those that God loves and Jesus died for. Thank you, Father. Help us in this critical area of life, we pray. In Jesus' great name, amen.